Rockwired Sound in Albuquerque, New Mexico, of all places. This is Rockwired Radio Profiles with your host, Brian Lush, exclusively at rockwired.com. Today, Rockwired profiles the soulful electronic sound of Rhett Fraser Inc. and their debut CD, Escape from Detroit. Stick around for more. Rockwired Radio Profiles is a production of Rockwired Media, LLC, a limited liability company. Please stand by. Welcome to another edition of Rockwired Radio Profiles, exclusively at rockwired.com. I'm your host, Brian Lush, and the music is out there. One of the real musical pleasures that I've experienced in the past year came from the electronic duo of Rhett Fraser Inc. Comprised of vocalist Rhett Fraser and drummer Donnie Grundler, the dynamic duo released their oh-so-funky debut CD, Escape from Detroit. A few months back, I had the chance to interview both Rhett and Donnie about their debut album and how they worked together as songwriters, and you'll hear all of that in just a few minutes. From their debut CD, Escape from Detroit, here is Rhett Fraser Inc. with You Can't Stop.
This time, it's a fate you can't deny. The future's caught you from behind. 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 What's already happened?
What's already happened? You can't stop. What's already happened? You can't stop. What's already happened?
From their album Escape from Detroit, that was Rhett Fraser Inc. with You Can't Stop. Visit Rhett Fraser Inc. at their official website, www.rhettfraserinc.com. Recently, I had a chance to speak with Rhett Fraser and Donnie Grindler about coming together as a songwriting duo and getting their debut album off to a smooth start. Here's how it went.
Well, with the release of Escape from Detroit, you know, after all the work that has gone into it to get it out there, how do you feel about the finished product?
I feel great about it. It's definitely been it was a labor of love. There was a lot of times where other people, peers or family members or various friends weren't sure quite what we were cooking up in the lab, but I think when we finally got it finished and we put that muscle car on the cover, you know, there was tremendous gratification. So I'm extremely proud of it.
I see. And when you say other people weren't quite sure what you were cooking up, how certain were you of what you were cooking up? I mean, you have this transistorized soul sound, you know, a lot of electronics mixed with this sort of old school feel. I mean, did it seem, you know, tangible to you at all, or?
Well, I mean, I like to pride myself on having a good compass, but I think, you know, your description of it right there is, I wish I was as eloquent to describe it as you are, but I think the description, because it is a kind of a hybrid of different elements, it's got a lot of old soul to it, it's got, you know, a lot of electronic elements and different rhythms and certainly, you know, modern recording techniques. So, you know, at the time when we were making it, a lot of the people that we had played with previously, we would have done so in, you know, as sidemen, you know, in, you know, whether it be like traditional soul bands or traditional rock and roll bands. So when you have a vision, you know, you have to go all in, you know, you have to put all your chips on the table with it. And I certainly had kind of a quiet, you know, still small voice that told me what I was doing was right, or I would have never been able to finish it. And the other voice I had was Donnie. So that made it easier to have a brother in arms on the project.
And that feeds perfectly into my next question. Talk about what you think Donnie brought to the table that made it work. I mean, you know, of all the people out there that one could work with, you know, I mean, what was it about him that made it, you know?
Well, I think first and foremost, he's so solid as a person. You know, we immediately hit it off just as buddies, and we could bounce things off of each other. The other thing would be, we played on a lot of gigs together, and you know, they were in settings where, you know, you had to be able to, you had to have good chops, you know, you had to be able to perform, you had to be able to get a message across, and he was certainly good at that. But I think more than that, just his musicianship, but also his ability to, you know, to see in me, you know, certain, you know, jewels, I guess, that might not have been polished yet. You know, it's kind of like the sculptor who sees the, you know, the sculpture in the granite and then tries to figure out how to make it. I think Donnie brings that out of me. I think he's, you know, as a collaborator, because he's a drummer, you know, he thinks of things structurally in a way that really brings things to light and enables me to be at my best.
Talk about how music got started for you.
Well, it's funny, people ask, you know, when I started singing, and my answer to that is I started singing kind of late. I mean, I was 23 before I'd ever played a gig, you know, something like that. But the flip side to that coin is that I came from a really musical family. I mean, both sides of the family. My uncle was a jazz pianist, you know, is a jazz pianist. My cousins and my great uncle and my grandfather were all very capable country musicians and bluegrass musicians. So I grew up around music, and I would say my taste probably came from my father. He just loved Motown and Stax. So, you know, I was always singing, but, you know, pursuing it as a career, wasn't the first thing that the Frasers thought of, because there was never a time when we weren't making music when we got together as a family. So, you know, I gradually, when the kind of lightning bolt hit me, that you could actually do that for a living, then things radically changed. But I was, you know, as I reflect back on it, I was a lot more immersed in music than I've given myself credit for, you know, in the past.
And talk about the genesis of this project. How did it begin? The band, I mean.
Well, Donnie, as I alluded to earlier, Donnie and I were playing, we met a guitar player named Denny Freeman, who is a, he just got elected to the Austin Music Hall of Fame, in South by Southwest. So he was from, he's from Dallas. He moved down to Austin. He played in the Cobras and was there for that whole burgeoning Austin scene that included, you know, Jimmy Vaughn and Stevie. But he, as a guitar player, he's really eclectic. He's got a huge blues background, but he can play any kind of music. And I got out here to make a record that ended up not coming out. It was like a soul record, more of a traditional soul record. And I knew he was out here, and he said, "Hey, I'm playing these gigs. Let's do some old soul tunes." And I played a couple of them, and then Donnie showed up on one of these gigs as a sub for somebody else. I think it was Clem Burke, as a matter of fact.
Little Blondie.
And I think Clem had hurt his arm or something. So Donnie came in, and, you know, Donnie was fresh off the boat from Detroit, and Denny kind of knew him because they'd done something in the past. But we played these gigs with Denny, and we just had a blast. So we really developed a lot of our musical language by playing with him, you know, and we were in the company of a master, certainly with him. There was a lot of heavy, you know, session dudes that would come down, like a James Gadson, that would play prior to Donnie kind of coming on board with that whole thing full time. So we played a lot of those, and then over time we started just getting together and you know, working out songs that I had been writing on the acoustic guitar. And you know, so after a while we had one, then we had two, and then we went into the recording studio, and then it kind of came off, and we went, "Wow, there might be something here." So it really evolved organically, and again, it was just because, you know, me and Donnie hit it off so well, and we have each other's back, and we have the same work ethic. But you know, that was probably, we probably met 8 years ago, and I would say 5 years ago we really started applying the screws to what the sound was going to be. And that was, you know, that was tough as well, because it's, you know, it's got a lot of eclectic influences. I mean, you can see what we're into, but making sure that it tells a story and it's cohesive is a little bit different.
And what songs off of the album resonate for you the most personally, and why?
Well, personally, I would say You Can't Stop really leaps out at me. I usually have lyrics that I just fill up in notebooks, or have these kind of philosophical ideas that I want to get across, and I'm looking for the perfect vehicle to do it. And with that song, I just kind of see a convergence of what I wanted to say and what I wanted the song to sound like. I think when you get that, you know, you know it. I mean, so that one really hits me. I like being a soul balladeer, so obviously I like If I Said a great deal. Heaven really, you know, if I'm having one of those vain moments and I feel like listening to myself, which is pretty rare because most guys just can't stand to do that, you know, Heaven's the kind of thing you can turn up in your car and hit the gas pedal.
You see. And what would you like someone to come away with after they've heard this album?
I think I want people to, I want it to resonate with them. I like the word resonate. I want people to think that the music's not disposable. I remember, for me, there are certain songs that have just changed my life, that were I not to have heard them, I would have done something differently. And, you know, though I don't think that I'm quite there in terms of accomplishing that, I don't know if any musician does, I want them to think that it's not disposable. It's not just something they can, that's free, you know. It's something that they can grasp, that what we're doing, while at the same time giving somebody that, you know, like kids that used to carry vinyl, you know, under their arm, you know, to their friend's house, you know, I want it to have the same sort of impact. So that's what I'm striving for. If they come away with something that is evocative of that, then I think it's a success.
Visit Rhett Fraser at their official website, www.rhettfraserinc.com. From their CD Escape from Detroit, here is Rhett Fraser Inc. once again with Am I Groovin' You?
Since becoming, you know, a part of Rhett Fraser Inc., what's been the biggest surprise for you? What didn't you expect when you started this duo?
You know, that's a great question. I didn't expect it
to be, for lack of a better word, as original musically. I guess I didn't have, not that we're patting ourselves on the back, but I didn't expect it to be so effortless and have so many results, I guess I would say, because when Rhett and I get into a room, it's not like we're working. You know, you kind of blink and it's 8 hours later and we have a song that makes us smile. And so I didn't expect that. I expected to do a few cool tunes and then kind of move on my way to any other project, you know, kind of coming from a sideman. So the fact that you know, we just keep writing together and we keep producing more and more music that makes us smile, and that it feels like the exact antithesis of work, you know, where I just want to hang out with the guy all day and just write and mess around, and that happens to produce something, which is pretty exciting.
How content are you just being the ink of the duo?
I actually love that. you know, like I think we've spoken about this before, but I view Rhett as the picture. I'm the picture frame, and I just enjoy what he does so much and how unique he is as a vocalist, that I just like framing that picture in interesting ways. So although I'm the ink of the duo and my name might not be on the spine of the record in terms of my birth name, you know, Donnie Grindler, I still feel that it's there because that's like his name for me, and then the fact that I get to frame him in a bunch of interesting ways. Like if you look at like the tune Nothing, you know, the fact that we can put all those textures beneath, all those electronic textures beneath him, I find that really interesting and rewarding, more so than if it was my name out front.
How did music begin for you?
Music began for me. Wow, well, that's a great question. I came from an all sports playing family, like in Detroit. So my father had played hockey for Michigan State. My uncle had played baseball. And, another uncle played football. Grandfather played football for U of M. It was like all sports stuff. And you know, I played sports a bit. And I remember one day I heard like a Sade song on the radio, and it had saxophone on it. And I begged my father to rent me a saxophone so I could take saxophone lessons and play in the school band. And, you know, parent-teacher conferences came up at my elementary school, and they're like, you know, little Donnie is terrible at the saxophone. Just thought you should know, you know? Like, he's not doing so great. And so my dad said, he came to me and he kind of told me what the teachers had said, and that, you know, it was really difficult for me and I was struggling, and said, is there anything else you'd like to play? And I said, you know, I would love to play the drums. All those drummers in the back, you know, they look like they're really having fun. And at the time, he looked and he said, well, it's a practice pad and a pair of sticks. I'm $12 in, and my kid gets to play drums, you know? He was really, you know, coming from the neighborhood I came from, Detroit, it was $12 and out was like a success, you know? And and so I started doing that, and I just went all the way through school band, all the way through high school, and I played in, like, the high school jazz band, which we still had back in those days, and symphonic band and all that stuff. And, you know, I wanted to pursue that at a college level, and my parents said to me, well, if you want to pursue that and you can get into the school of your choice, we'll find a way to help co-sign the loan for you at school. We're not going to pay for the loan, but we'll co-sign it for you so you can get started. And, you know, the rest is kind of history. I went to Berkeley and did my undergrad and did my master's at this school called Wayne State in Detroit. And, you know, I've been really blessed. I hadn't done anything other professionally than play music, you know, and write music. So I've been really lucky. And kind of along those ways, Brian, you know, as I was playing drums, once I got to college and I got to study all the other instruments, then my love of keyboards and mallets and, you know, arranging and writing kind of came through. So it all started from a $12 practice pad and drumstick set, and the fact that I was just horrendous at the saxophone. Thank goodness, right?
Really? What was it about Rhett that made you decide that this is the person to work with? This is the person that I'm going to, you know, frame, using your words.
Yeah, you know, I adore that guy. He's like my favorite person in the whole wide world. And just, you know, first of all, we had just developed a friendship, you know, on top of music, which, you know, we just had a lot of the same interests, you know, love of scotches, love of, you know, like good food, just like a lot of life interests. And and so we would kind of just write music on the side, and we had all these life interests, and he's the first friend I've ever had where, even when we disagree, I still want to hang out with him. and I actually enjoyed a disagreement. So that he's one of those guys that really challenges me to be a better person and a better musician constantly. So that I really enjoy the challenge that he brings to me. You know, he really challenges me to be better in so many ways. So that you know, from a personal perspective, that's why I enjoy his company and the fact that he challenges me. And then from a professional musical standpoint, you don't meet too many people in music, vocalists or guitar players or any other instrumentalists, that are consistent. You know, like, you know, one night they're amazing and the next night, you know, it's like they've never held their instrument before, and you hope to see that musician on a good night. And Rhett is one of the most consistent vocalists and performers I've worked with, probably the most consistent. And you know, I just always know what I'm going to get from him in terms of his performances. So you know, it makes it real easy to put your money down on that horse. You know, he's not going to let me down. So not only does he challenge me to become a better person, a better musician, but then, like, he's not going to let me down and drop the ball musically.
And how does songwriting get done between the two of you? How does that work?
You know, each tune is different, but it's always the two of us, like, pressing each other's buttons. You know, that I can tell you. You know, if I I can pick a couple songs that are examples. One would be If I Said. I remember you mentioned that one. And that, you know, Rhett came over, and this is after we first met, you know, 8 or 9 years ago, and we started brainstorming about topics. You know, what's a great topic for a song? And, you know, this was kind of like, hey, I'm with this one woman, but I wish I was with this other woman. And we thought, wow, what a great song. And he started strumming something on an acoustic guitar. I grabbed an MPC, which is like a sampling drum machine, and we started putting beats behind it and funky samples. And next thing we knew, you know, 4 or 5 hours later, we had like a little lead sheet of music with some chord changes and a melody and a groove. And so then, you know, we hired, you know, some of our best collaborators from doing other gigs to come in and track it as a band. And so I laid down drums first to a chart, and then the rest of the band came in, played, and then Rhett sang over, and then we kind of Dr. Frankensteined it. And, you know, it was just all built from the two of us being in a room writing together, and then we performed it very organically, so we kind of had both. Then you can take another song like Nothing, which is very electronic, and same sort of thing, Rhett and I brainstorming, like, hey, what's a great subject for a song? And, you know, Rhett and I both kind of like to stand on our own 2 feet and would like to think that we take care of ourselves without any outside help, and so that became the title, you know, Nothing You Can Do For Me. And I just started sampling breakbeats and keyboard synths and all stuff from a bunch of different old vinyl. I created this verse and chorus of a track, and then Rhett sang over it these great lyrics that he had written for Nothing. And and we had a verse and a chorus that was great. And so then we kind of fleshed out the whole song as loops and samples. And then I went and tracked drums over it, you know, got rid of a lot of the samples, kind of did a John Bond meets DJ Logic, and then, you know, got, you know, one guitar player to come in and pepper something on it here, and a bass player to kind of pepper some other things on, and, you know, and so each method is slightly different, but it always starts with Rhett and I going, what's a good idea for a song that, you know, somebody's afraid to say? Like, nobody wants to say, hey, you know, I'm already in a relationship, but I'd rather be with you, and then there's nobody ever says, hey, there's nothing you can do for me. And so we kind of start with these kernels, and you know, the technology or the writing method may differ, but it kind of starts out as brainstorming subject-wise.
What do you think is next for the duo, musically?
Man, if you asked Rhett, he'd tell you we're only going to get weirder. Like, that would be his MO. He'd say, man, we're only going to get more strange, you know? And for me, I think we're just starting to develop our sound. I think in the next 2 or 3 songs, we're going to develop like our signature sound. I don't think we're there yet, but I think we're damn close, and that's going to be really exciting. I think once that happens, I think we're just going to hopefully reach a wider audience. But I think most importantly for Rhett and I is just, I feel once we get let fans and music listeners decide whether they dig it or not, or whether they're going to make us, you know, super well known. But I think musically, what's next is that we're gonna find like our. We're almost to our stride. We turn the corner, we've hit second gear, and we're inches from our our stride musically.
Visit Rhett Fraser at their official website, www.rhettfraserinc.com. From their CD Escape from Detroit, here is Rhett Fraser Inc. once again with If I Said.
Careful what you say to me, 'cause I'm a little sensitive. I would lead by example if I had the strength, but you turn on and I got to speak to you, baby. What are you gonna do about me, girl? Do you think that you can do without me? Hey, what would you doubt me, baby? If I said something, if I said something. I was thinking about you when we were apart last night, but I was with the girl that I'm living with. And I know you got your man, I know how to do it right. You shouldn't argue with destiny, no, no. What are you gonna do about me, girl? Do you think that you can do without me? Hey, or would you doubt me, baby, if I said something, if I said something? Do you think you can find the means to spend some more time with me? Or would you mind if I told you that I think that you owe it to yourself to be with the one who loves you? I can smell you on me every night we'll say goodbye, and there's a stain on my heart that I can't get clean. And I know you got your man, I know how to do it right. You shouldn't argue with destiny, no, no. What are you gonna do about me, girl? Do you think that you can do without me? Hey, would you doubt me, baby, if I said something, if I said something? Maybe if I told you we should spend more time together, baby. Maybe if I said to you that you should stay with me. Maybe if I said to you that I love you, baby, love you, baby.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
I love you. I can't wait, I can't wait until I can come home to see you.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
I said I love you, baby, love you, baby.
That's all the time we're going to have here at Rockwired Radio Profiles. A special thanks for today's show goes out to Rhett Fraser, Donnie Grundler, and Versa Manos of Gorgeous PR. Visit the duo at their official website, www.rhettfraserinc.com. For Rockwired, I'm Brian Lush, and remember, keep your eyes forward, never look back, and make it up as you go. Rockwired Radio Profiles is a production of Rockwired Media, LLC, a limited liability company, and is available exclusively at rockwired.com.